We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
John, this is going to be a fun conversation, okay? Because a lot of the offensive players got me really excited. And then I watched some of the defensive players where I was like, oh.
Yes, sir.
We might have some guys here, man.
Man.
We might have some guys here. So this is what we're going to do, folks. Again, we're going to project, if you're live with us on YouTube, here's a lot of the defensive offers. We're going to be working through defensive line, defensive end. We're going to be walking through defensive tackle, a lot of linebackers on the board, which should be no surprise. Okay, no surprise at all. Cornerbacks on the board as well. Safeties, great class that we're going to be working through here. So let's go one by one here, Sean. We're going to kind of talk about some of our favorite players that we have watched in the 2026 class so far. It's very hard to only pick five. I have five, but I could probably throw in a couple more guys. Let's start with you, my friend. Who is a guy early on that might be one of your favorite 2026 defensive players offered by Notre Dame that really piqued your interest?
Number one. Tyler Atkinson. Let me tell you something. Ladies and gentlemen, it took me two plays. I cut the film off. Two plays. You ask why? The man literally was on the outside, rushing the edge the first play, and then was playing middle linebacker the second play. And dominated both plays. I said, what is this? When did they start making players like this? Then I saw a play. I said, you know what? Let me watch the rest just to be fair. Because I already know what I've seen after the first two plays. Mm-hmm. They run the play, offensive lineman, the guard is coming up to him. He just literally rocks the offensive lineman and goes and makes the play. You know, most linebackers sit there, wait, try to use it to speed, to get around. No. I'm going to attack this guard, knock him off his rocker, and then go make the play. I said, I just watched the guy rush the passer with great speed, take on the block and destroy the block, and then chase a guy down to the sideline. Okay. He's a sophomore. I'll take him.
And he's from?
He's from the state of Georgia, man.
Yep. He's Loganville, Georgia, Grayson High School. And he's rated as a five-star recruit, Sean, by 247 mm-hmm. Composite, number mm-hmm. 11 player in the 2026 class overall, and number two linebacker in the 2026 class as well. Pretty good, man. He's pretty good. He's like a Swiss Army knife, man. You know how Notre Dame tried to use Marist, right? And Marist had some success in it, but like
absolutely
off-ball linebacker playing will, can play dime backer, can also blitz off the edge, can also almost be like a sub package rusher at times. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely insane, right? Absolutely insane. So yes, I did watch Tyler Atkinson. I did not include him because, again, there's so many good players, man. Like, it's almost absurd to watch all these dudes that we had to watch. It sounds so like, oh man, like it's a job. Like, oh man, we had to watch all these players. Like, just yeah. A phenomenal.
It's enjoyable.
Yes, it's very, very enjoyable.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So let me hit you with my first one, Sean, and then I'm going to kick it to you because I think you're going to have some conversation about this young man, okay? Okay. We're going to have some conversation about him. This young man, Chicago kid, his name is Mikhail Blade. Okay, Mikhail Blade, who I know you know, actually, on a pretty personal level, and we'll talk about that in a second. Mikhail Blade, who is out of Hillcrest High School. That's Country Clubs Hills, Illinois. I'm assuming that's probably an outskirt of Chicago, I would assume. He is listed, Sean, at 6'4". Most places have him between 230 and 235. But I think we have him recently at like 245, 240, somewhere in that ballpark. So he's a pretty big-sized kid. He has an expanding offer list, obviously Notre Dame recently, but he's got Florida, Miami, Nebraska, Georgia Tech. He's got Boston College, Cincinnati. His offer list is expanding well. He is a player that I believe eventually will probably be a three technique, Sean, because I think that he has a big body, and I think that his body is going to continue to grow. But he's one of those very scheme-diverse players that can move from a three-man front to a four-man front. Long, athletic, and promising frame, dude. I watched Mikhail Blade, and I was super interested in what he could be on the next level.
Absolutely. So just to give you guys a little background, he plays for the Hillcrest Hawks, who I would say are a very competitive program. I wouldn't say they're one of the top programs because, of course, it's home with Flossmoor and Lincoln Way East. You have the other top suburban programs. But this young man, along with Hillcrest and Coach Weaver, I went through a tumultuous season last year, and it personally impacted Mikhail. And I was talking with him yesterday in the days leading up to the Pot of Gold. You talk about a kid who visited on March 7th for the practice, and he'll be coming back to Notre Dame on March 23rd for a padded practice. And possibly within 40-something days, he'll be back for the Blue and Gold game on the 20th. So literally, he could be at Notre Dame three times. When I tell you, this young man was ultimately the level of gratefulness he had. And I want to explain why. Of course, because it's Notre Dame. Of course, because he's a Midwest kid, a Chicago kid. So Notre Dame means something to him. But he just lost, along with the rest of the football program, one of his good friends, Marshawn Mitchell, who was a football player for the Hillcrest Hawks that was murdered coming from practice or coming from a football game. And they didn't play for 2 weeks. Like, literally, the program was rocked. They voted throughout the school and the student parent council whether or not they were going to continue to play. It literally gripped the South suburbs at the beginning of the football season last year in September of 2003. And for him, in conversation yesterday, shared with me how difficult it was. And it was almost bittersweet to be having success in the midst of the loss of his friend and to receive the offer. That was such a level of gratitude and gratefulness that goes beyond the football field, just from the aspect of just life. And having the opportunity and almost feeling, bad in a sense, you know, like just wishing that, you know, his friend could be here and just be able to have that conversation with him. It's for a young man. Once again, we're talking about sophomores to be in the midst of a great accomplishment of receiving an offer from the University of Notre Dame and being able to reflect back on that and how that makes the moment even more special for him. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely fantastic. And it's safe to say that he loves Notre Dame. He said immediately, March 7th, as soon as he walked in the door, he felt the love from the staff and the players. He said he just immediately felt the love and wanted to get back as soon as possible. So he'll be back on the 23rd for practice. Mm-hmm. He's looking to get back on April 20th. So like I said, within a time frame of, what is that, almost 40 days, you know, yep. This kid could be at Notre Dame three times, you know. Right. And it's funny because we heard it with the Owen Strebick. Like, okay, why does he need to – some kids, they fall in love with the place and they just, yo, they want to come as many times. I mean, that was the same thing with Cam Williams and CJ Carr. Like, yep. When you feel the love and you know it's Notre Dame, nothing else needs to be said. So I understand. I agree with your assessment of what he's just a big kid. When you see him, you see the frame. Like you said, he could be a big end. You know, he could be that three technique in certain situations. Mm-hmm. The versatility, mm-hmm. the length that he has. I'll tell you one thing. He makes plays. I know that for a second. And another big kid from Mount Carmel. That's also a big time off of Braden Jones. They're workout partners. They work out together. So that's another connection to whereas that love, that they might be I'm not going to say they're a package deal, but they're definitely talking to each other about their experiences.
It could help one or the other depending on where they go, right? That's kind of where that is. Yep. Well, it's funny enough, Sean. So a weird stat, ready? This is the weird stat. So of the local products for Notre Dame offer in 2026. So I'm counting Illinois-based kids and Indiana-based kids, right? There was only five that were offered. Four of them are on the defensive line. So You mentioned already, we just talked a little bit about Mikhail Blade, but mm-hmm. they also offered Illinois defensive lineman Gabe Hill as well. Mm-hmm. And then you just mentioned Braden Jones, who is out of Mount Carmel. And then J.J. Finch, who is a defensive end. He is out of Warren Central. People are going to know that for obviously Notre Dame is recruiting Damian Shanklin in the 2025 class as well. So four of the five, Sean, local guys that were offered are on the defensive line, which I just thought was kind of an interesting one. A little bit interesting.
Remember the conversation coming off our interview with Dylan Faison? I told you about the transition. I feel like that is – I think the wide receiver position – over the last 3 years, we've seen big time wide receivers, you know, come out of the state of Illinois, but it's really been one or two guys. I think there's even more depth growing at that position. And I think it's because the transition and the talent is starting to go outward from what has always been in Illinois. You could always come to Illinois, ask Wisconsin, ask Iowa. You can always come to Illinois and get an offensive line. you can always come to Illinois, ask Notre Dame, and get a defensive line, right? They had interest in 26 defensive lineman Nate Marshall. They got Christopher Burgess. They were on Justice Scott. Originally, they had a relationship with Marquise Lightfoot. You want defensive lineman? You can come to Illinois, and you don't have to go to California, Georgia. You can come get top-notch defensive lineman out of the state of Illinois, and that just goes to, like I said, there are certain areas where you can go find top-notch talent at certain positions. And along the offensive defensive line, you can always find that in Illinois. It's always going to be a surplus of defensive line and offensive line help coming out of the state of Illinois. The other positions, yeah, you rarely hear about a quarterback coming out of Illinois.
Top five pick this year coming out of the state of Illinois. Or no, it's Indiana. He's an Illinois guy, wasn't he? Was JJ Illinois?
Are you talking about JJ?
Yeah, JJ was an Illinois guy, right?
I don't know if he's like a true top five pick. He might get picked in the top five, but hey.
Yep.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right?
Agreed.
You know, but once again, that JJ is a rarity.
Yes.
For the state of Illinois. Like, there's a rarity that you get a top five Illinois kid in the NFL draft at wide receiver.
Right.
So I think things are changing a little bit with the talent in Illinois, but Notre Dame should be able to feast on the defensive line, especially the defensive line when it comes to talent out of the state of Illinois.
Well, we talked about this on Friday as a little bit of a preview, Sean, but like, I think that it's very translatable to Illinois being a really good, especially Chicago being a really good basketball spot, right? Where it's like long defensive linemen. And I was also say tight ends, right? I mean, JC Anderson obviously just got offered, but I even think about like 2024, I'm mixing up my years now, but
I think he was 24, the kid that Christian Benneker.
They were the same year, weren't they? 2024, because they're
you're right.
So long athletes, makes sense. Tight end, defensive line. Mm-hmm. Tight end, defensive line. So I think that those things are extremely translatable, to say the least. So very interesting to keep eyes on. Gabe Hill, Mikhail Blade, and then obviously the two Indiana guys, Braden Jones and J.J. Finch as well, as them being locals. And it seems like by all accounts so far, at least talking to a bunch of these kids, because me and Sean have had the chance to talk to every one of those guys at this point, that there is high interest, and I think that Notre Dame is pushing, right? So we'll see how they're able to close on those types of players. Next guy I have for you, Sean. Next guy. Ready? This might be my favorite watch I've had so far, okay? Of either side of the ball. Might be. Arguable. Jacksonville, Florida, the Bulls school. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Bolas school? Mm. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. If anybody knows in the chat, please correct me. Simeon Caldwell, Sean. Listed as a safety by every recruiting platform. There is some expectations that he might eventually, though, grow into a Rover. Like, there's a possibility there. Because he is all of 6'3 and 185-plus pounds. This young man. Holy smokes. 14 games last year, 137 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, and had a couple of interceptions. He plays safety, can play deep on the second level. He's an incredibly physical player getting downhill. I mean, he almost averaged 10 tackles a game this past year in the state of Florida. That kid, Bowles, pronounced as Bowles. Got it. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate y'all. The Bowles school safety, Simeon Caldwell, 2026. show that kid is a physical enforcer that has some pretty good ball skills as well. I think he's a rover eventually, probably 205 plus pounds, but he is going to be a really gifted one because his short area stuff is good. He's got good ball skills and he's physical, man. That was a young man that I'm like, that kid is going to be a dynamic weapon on the second level of defense. Big fan of Simeon Caldwell, 6'3", 185 pound safety that Notre Dame might view as a rover long term.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
That's the very interesting thing about watching this film. I don't know if he even holds up at that position. Like, I'm looking at him like, yo, he's going to be a very athletic rover.
Right.
That's the first thing that jumped out to me. But it's going to be interesting to see how he progresses. I love this film. Everything you said about him was spot on. And just playing in the box, making plays in the box, the line of scrimmage, tackles for loss, things of that nature. He fits into someone that I think can end up being a chess piece in the mind of one Al Golden. Like, this is a guy that I can use to cause problems for offenses that the offensive coordinator will have to worry about. So you give a kid like this that's versatile, because I still think he will be able to, and he can play both positions within a game. That is the type of kid we're talking about. So I totally agree with you.
You know who he reminds me of, Sean? Remember Mark Barron that played at
Alabama? Yes, Alabama.
All-American safety. Then he goes to the NFL and he becomes a linebacker on the next level. Mm-hmm. He's just so ferocious. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Simeon Caldwell to me. And he's got a very, again, bowl school, 2026 safety. He's got, obviously, an impressive offer list. Notre Dame, obviously, offering recently. West Virginia, Florida State, Kentucky, Louisville, Michigan, Miami, Ohio State, Missouri, Pittsburgh, Texas, Tennessee, among several others. So he is an incredibly impressive player. And I'm moving the board up. I'm so sorry. I'm talking about a safety, right? A linebacker safety, and I don't have him up on the screen. That's my apologies. My deepest apologies there, sir. But very talented player, Simeon Caldwell. Sean Davis, next guy you would like to talk about amongst your favorite defensive players offered on Pot of Gold.
Hey, defensive back, Dorian Barney. Okay. Love this kid, man. Peachtree Ridge High School, Suwanee, Georgia. Quickness galore, man. I can't wait to see what his 40 speed is when he goes to some camps over the summer. But his first play, man, he reads a screen, gets by the wide receiver, defeats the block, and delivers a blow. I'm like, just first play. And most of the time they had him playing a little bit of off-man coverage, but he's so quick. That is like, even if you throw it under, he's making the play with minimal damage, no run after catch. I'm still interested in seeing his long speed and whether or not it's going to be 4.4 in that range. But if he is that type of player where he has makeup speed to add to his viciousness to come down, maybe be a sure tackler and be good in coverage as well, I'm loving what I see from this kid, Dorian Barney, out of Georgia.
Yeah, man. We could have just stayed in the whole state of Georgia for this, right, Sean? You mentioned Ryan Atkinson. You mentioned Dorian Barney. Oh, man. Oh, gosh. So, yes, he's a very talented player. There's no doubt about that. Big fan of Dorian Barney. There's a lot of talented defensive backs just in general, man, in this class. Like, was it you that was texting about R.J. Sermons, about there being another Rodney Sermon?
Rodney Sermon. I'm like, yo, I'm getting a little bit too old, man. This is when you start hearing the names of players that you either watched growing up, mm-hmm. kids that hop on lists, it's like, yo, because we said the same thing about another kid, right? TD Jr. out of Carolina.
Yes.
I don't know if he made your list.
Oh, he did make my list. Mr. Thomas Davis Jr. Yes, he did. He certainly did make my list. Sean, it's just a celebration of being old here, man. It's a it's not even an old thing, actually, because we're talking about a guy that's son. I mean, all right, so Thomas Davis, who is a star linebacker for the Carolina Panthers, also played for a couple teams at the end. I think Chargers were one of them. But mm-hmm. I remember him coming out of Georgia, man. Thomas Davis was a freak show, sir. Freak show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And his son, shockingly enough, is a pretty talented player. Now, Thomas Davis, and don't feel old out there, guys, because Thomas Davis is still a younger dad. He's, you know, he's got a son that's a sophomore in high school, but he's only 40 years old. So it's not like we're talking about a guy that, like, that you watch that's like in his 50s or 60s, right? We're not talking about that right now. But Thomas Davis Jr., who's out of Matthews, North Carolina, Weddington, listed at 6'1", 200 to 205 pounds. A little bit of a smaller stacked linebacker right now, Sean, but the kid's instincts are bananas. It's almost mm-hmm. like he has a father that was a Pro Bowl linebacker. Almost like that happened, right? Like he just sees the game at such a phenomenal level for his age, man. Big fan of Thomas Davis Jr. He is ranked as the number 67 overall player by Rivals. He is going to be a national recruit. He's going to be a guy that you are going to be able to, you're going to be talking about now for several months. Like,
absolutely.
I actually just had an interview with Thomas Davis Jr., and which will be up on irishbreakdown.com. And Notre Dame seems to have made a pretty nice thing here, Sean. Nice thing here is that all the linebacker recruits that I've talked about so far, they're all raving about Max Bulla, man. All raving about him, which is a very good thing.
Great thing. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. It's a great sign because, again, I think Max Bulla is going to be a really good recruiter, but we don't know fully about that yet. Like, he did some really good things with helping to close on some dudes in 2024, mm-hmm.
yeah.
but we have no idea of just how good he is as a recruiter yet, but seems to be doing a very good job at Thomas Davis Jr. So, yes, he was definitely on my list. How many guys do you have left, Sean? I think I have two more guys left.
I have two because I gave Tyler Atkinson, Dorian Barney.
Yep.
Thomas Davis Jr. was on my list.
Oh, he was on your list. Okay.
Yeah.
Might have to throw one more guy out there. All right. Let me hear your next guy.
So, Pui Tamahini, modern day, big man, the only guy on the defensive line right now that's already at 300. I had to go get me a guy that was ready made.
6'4", 300, right?
6'4", 300. And if you watched it, though, you talk about the quickness. Because most you think those are anchor guys, right? Sophomore already 300. No. This is a 300-pound athlete, ladies and gentlemen, that makes plays, can rush the passer, can push the pocket, can defeat blocks, tackle running backs. He's that type of kid already. And, of course, you would normally think, okay, this is a USC kid, right? This is modern day, 300, he's a USC kid. USC's not doing too well right now. Right. In that area, things might be a little more wide open, and Notre Dame is attacking right now.
Yeah, you got to worry about the SEC teams going out to modern day. You got to worry about Oregon obviously attacking modern day. Like, yes, USC is probably not the team to beat, but very early on in the process. And yes, Sean, he is a let me scroll to him right now because you're absolutely correct. Actually, I was already on it. Defensive tackles, yeah, only player. I mean, you have like Cameron Brickle out of Pennsylvania, who's 295. You have Tiki Hola, I probably pronounced that terribly, out of Texas, who is 290 pounds. But yes, your boy out of California, modern day, is the only 300 legitimate pounder today as a sophomore. He's a big dude, big kid, big Samoan, man. Like, just can't move him at the point of attack. Good luck. Good luck moving him at the point of attack.
Love it.
Man, modern day just keeps shocking. Modern day keeps getting talent.
They do what they do, right?
Yes.
Modern day Bosco, they do what they do.
Yes, they certainly do. All right, next guy for me, Sean. I think we'll have one guy each after I lay out this young man. Hopefully I don't steal him from you, because I don't think I did, but we'll see if I did or not. So There's a young man, a defensive back out of the state of Pennsylvania, Sean. I was playing Pennsylvania. Hopefully I did not take him from you. Doesn't sound like I... Oh, no, I did. Did I really? Oh, no.
I mean, we'll see.
All right. So there's this young man. There's this young man. I'm going to be super tentative because I don't want to keep stealing guys. His name is Joey O'Brien. He plays at Glenside, PA. Oh, no. Did I take him?
No. I'm laughing because literally I had a conversation with B. Driss about this young man last night. I understand. Go right ahead.
Yep. So Joey O'Brien, who is out of Glenside, PA, LaSalle College, listed between 6'3 and 6'4 and 180 pounds. Mm-hmm. We have him at 6'3, 180 on some verified measurables. This young man, Sean, this is what we wanted Ryan Barnes to be. This is who we wanted him to be. That who is who Joey O'Brien is. That kid is flexible. He can run pretty well, but his ball skills and his length are outrageous, sir. Also a very good wide receiver as well. But man, that kid's good. That kid's good. I like him a lot. I am shocked at his offer list, by the way. Absolutely shocked. Right now he has Duke, Notre Dame, and Toledo, Sean. That's all he has. Now he's going up to Syracuse. He's going down to Alabama. He's going to several other schools to visit. I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of offers that are going to be extended afterwards, but I do not understand why his offer list is the way it is. I watched the kid and I'm like, yep, the kid's very good. And by all accounts, Notre Dame is quite a fan of Joey O'Brien early on as well.
I was told immediately by Brian Driscoll, yo, did you see his film yet? I'm like, no, I haven't watched it yet. Double R, I agree with you, man. I don't understand it. And that is the quandary of college football recruiting, right? You watch a kid, you get it early, or you see it early, or you think like, yo, this kid is a stud, and then the offer list doesn't match up. And then sometimes it's the reverse, right? Where you watch a kid and you're like, man, what do they see? Why? What are the top schools seeing in this kid? So I totally agree with you, man. I love what this kid, you talk about Ryan Barnes and what we thought he could be. That's a very good comp. Very good comp. And like you said, you know, players determine who they become ultimately, regardless of what people think in recruiting and people that recover recruiting, what their thoughts are about their film or their star rankings and things of that nature. But I think this young man, I would consider him to be high floor, medium ceiling, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I
don't even know if that's possible. I think we might have just made that up. But, yeah, he's high floor, medium ceiling to me.
There's variations to a ceiling.
Just make it up.
Yeah. Well, I like
instead of having the high vaulted ceiling, you just have a nice medium ceiling.
Well, Brandon asked in the chat, Sean, whether does he project a safety? I think he could, Brandon, but I haven't seen enough of him like physically though, as far as like as a tackler. I'm just talking about the coverage skills, and I look at that kid and I say he's loose and he's long. I don't see any reason to necessarily move him to safety, but like does his range and ball skills work at safety as a coverage player? Sure, it could work. Yeah, I think it could, but he's a corner to me right now. Could he be a safety down the line? It's possible, but I really liked a lot of what I saw at cornerback. I have one guy left, Sean. If I'm right here, that means that you also have one guy left. Okay. Yeah. Your last defensive player that was offered a pot of gold that you wanted to talk about today.
I want to talk about from the same high school as Devin Butler and guys that could possibly be the number one overall draft pick. From Gonzaga High out of the D.C. area. He reminds me so much in the possibility of a kid that joined the Notre Dame 24 class in Bryce Young, and that is Mr. Carter Meadows. The length he plays with, the power. I really like this young man. I really do. And I think that he bears watching to me. I'm going to put him in that Bryce Young category where I'm basing it upon potential. Absolute potential. This young man and what he could be at Notre Dame. It was between him and Blaine Bradford. I had both of those guys on the list split as my last guy. And I love them both. right? But when you went with the safety, Joey O'Brien, I said, okay, let me step away from safety and give another defensive lineman. So I gave a nod to Carter Meadows. But I love Blaine Bradford as well. I love his film at the safety position. Very intrigued with how this 26th class is coming off of what Chris O'Leary was able to finally do in the 25 class. Now with the changes in the coaching, with Mike Mickens at defensive backfield, very interesting in seeing how the safety position plays out along with the defensive back position in the 26th class with those changes. It's going to be interesting to watch, and it bears watching. But, yeah, Carter Meadows out of Gonzaga High School. Gonzaga. Let me say it correctly. Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
One of the incredibly long players that are on the list, Sean, he's listed at 6'5". He lists himself at 6'6", and he has a lot of length, to say the least. I mean, there's some defensive ends here, Sean. We got 6'5", Ezekiel Harris. We have 6'4", Anthony. Have you seen Anthony Jones, by the way? Holy smokes out of the state of Alabama. He's a Mobile kid. He is. It's pretty good, man. Pretty good. Might be the top five player probably in the class that I've seen so far. Like, he's a really good football player. Last one, Sean. An interesting player that I wanted to highlight here because I didn't know anything about this young man, to be honest. Didn't know him at all. And then we got the list, obviously, early on of, like, who he is and all that type of stuff, right? So if you Google the name Rodney Dunham, okay, the first thing that's going to pop up, Sean, and this is out of Charlotte, North Carolina, Myers Park, a 6'4", 215-pound defensive lineman who now holds offers from South Carolina, East Carolina, Charlotte, Notre Dame, amongst several others, okay? Rodney Dunham, though, if you Google his name, the first sports-related profile that will pop up is baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Apparently, this young man is one of the top baseball players in the state of North Carolina in the 2026 class. He is I think he plays first base, but he's a pitcher, and he throws over 90 miles an hour already, Sean. So I have no idea if Rodney Dunham has any want to play baseball on the next level. I have no idea, but apparently he's a really, really good baseball player. Really good. But I like him because he's long and he's explosive and he's my type on the defensive line, man. He right now, I think, could be a Viper if he stays in a similar range of weight over the next couple years. But I also think that he could play big end eventually. Like, I think that he is a type of guy that you put a little bit of weight on. I think that he could be 250, 255 pounds with that still explosiveness and burst off the line. A lot of really explosive edge talent in 2026, it seems. Rodney Dunham, really interesting player to watch. A guy that it seems Notre Dame likes. And I'm interested to see if there's any potential with baseball. Maybe it's similar to a Drake Bowen because he's an excellent baseball player out of North Carolina as well.
You know, I love Notre Dame football, but I'm telling you, boy, if I was a consultant or a mentor for this young man, I would be like, you know, guaranteed money. Guaranteed money looks really good. So if he's the number one player in that state, it's pretty safe to say he could end up in a Team USA program coming up real soon for baseball, which, if I'm not mistaken, I think Drake's little brother, Dylan, is trending towards that. Yeah, he's trending towards that way of possibly being in the USA program. But I agree with you, man. Look, this is the excitement about when we say this is big fish hunting.
Yes.
When we look at the film, look, the film for the guys that they've offered is different in 26 than the 25 class. And it's just different. It's like an elevation of expectations within the program of, okay, now let's go get these guys. These are the guys we're ready to go after now as an entire program. And you have to be excited. Another long, athletic, big-time talent. And we're talking about sophomores that physically just like you're looking at like, oh, my God, if these are the kids that are stepping off the bus in 3 years for Notre Dame, yeah, we might win some games before the opening kickoff. Like, the intimidation is real when you walk out on the field and you look across the 50-yard line. These are the guy monsters that are stretching, looking you in the face. Yeah, intimidation definitely will be a factor. So I agree with you, man. This entire class. Let me ask you a question. because it seems like on the defensive side of the ball, the net that they cast was a lot larger from a regional standpoint than offensively. It seems like offensively, they really went hard in California, Texas, Florida, and those were three specific states with a few other areas sprinkled in. Defensively, you're talking about Louisiana, Alabama, North Carolina, Maryland, Illinois, Ohio, Missouri, like they Pennsylvania. They cast a much, D.C., the DMV area, a much wider net defensively, region-wise, than offensively.
It seems like that the defensive staff, sorry, and Alexa's screaming in my ear, so Alexa, off, please don't do that again, but Sean, yes, I think that this is an indication that I think Max Bulla, Mike Mickens, and Al Washington and that crew, like, they've been out and about searching this country, it seems like, right? Like, I think you're 100% correct. Like, what did we have? I'm going to scroll real quick because I'm trying to remember. So, 7 quarterbacks that are offered, 3 from the state of Florida, 3 from California, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and this isn't like a due diligence thing. It was just that, like, Gino Gadulli and the staff went out to California and they saw 3 quarterbacks that they really liked. Mm-hmm. Went down to Florida, they saw 3 Florida quarterbacks that they really liked. So, yeah, I think regionally, defensively is much more spread out, I would say 100%. I also think it's very interesting because we went into the week where there were a lot more offensive offers that had already been extended compared to defensive offers as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think there's been a lot of due diligence in here. You're still seeing, obviously, we mentioned some DMV kids, but Texas, California, Georgia, all those places are very well represented here. There's no doubt about it. But that's going to be so that you had nobody else, right? That was you already, you're done, you're good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, folks, we're going to end the show here. But hey, before we leave, a couple quick things for you all. Listen to me. Don't leave yet. Listen to me. It's important. First thing, the program switch that we talked about earlier. Friday, there's going to be the mailbag instead of today. We want to do the Pod Gold recap. A lot of offer stories and group rankings and a lot of things that are coming out at boards.irishbreakdown.com and irishbreakdown.com as well. I will also say that make sure you're subscribed at boards.irishbreakdown.com and subscribe to me or Brian on Twitter, because you never know when things, and Sean obviously is too, you never know when something's going to pop up, okay? You never have an idea of when something might pop up next. So make sure you subscribe everywhere and anywhere. We'll catch you guys very soon. Want to thank everybody for joining us today. Hope you enjoyed this latest edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast.